So this morning, we are in Proverbs chapter 4, and Solomon, King Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs, most of the Proverbs anyway, as he shared with us some of the previous passages, we've seen wisdom personified as a woman who is calling out and calling the naive and the foolish unto her that they might experience the benefits that come with wisdom. And really calling out everywhere that she possibly can. Some of those same themes are found in chapter 4, but Solomon takes a different approach here in chapter 4. And if you want to turn with me to Proverbs 4, it'll be up on the screen, but you can join with us as we take a look at his word this morning. This morning we're going to see a father's plea, the real heart of wisdom here, is found in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 27. As Solomon shares these truths, he's going to be discussing it as a father would to his own son. And it gives it a personal tone to it. And oftentimes in wisdom literature around this period of time, this was very, very common thing to do. And oftentimes the teacher would consider themselves or even call their pupils sons. And so we see this even down in Egypt and some of the wisdom literature that they have and that sort of thing. But Solomon here really makes it personal and talks about even his, as we're going to see here in a moment, even his own boyhood and how his father taught him. So I know Mother's Day is next week. We haven't even gotten to Father's Day. This is not a Father's Day message, but it could be. because of the tender nature in which Solomon speaks and calls us, pleads with us to understand and know wisdom. So the first thing he pleads with us about is to hold on in verses 1 through 9. Hold on, he says. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. So here it is again, calling upon us as sons, reaching out to all of us as sons and daughters to come to listen to this instruction. A familial relationship, not a clinical relationship or anything like that, is just a university setting or anything like this, but this is in the home. This is a father to a son calling and pleading with his son. We see this, by the way, throughout the Old Testament especially. This is an important part of the Jewish way of teaching. Yes, they would learn in synagogues and they would learn in rabbinical schools and different things like that, often teaching the scriptures and that sort of thing. But what was really supposed to happen is what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 to 25. When your son asks you in time to come, and this is right after the Exodus, of course, and getting ready to head into the promised land, in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgment mean, which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed us great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. He brought us out of there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteous for us if we are careful to observe all the commandments before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. And so they were to teach these truths to their sons. They were to pass on this information. And it has worked beautifully, hasn't it? I mean, the Jews still continue to understand and know these stories. Even if they're secular Jews, they know the stories. This is part of their culture. It's part of their home life as well. when they have a Seder meal once a year, or whether they celebrate a Shabbat or whatever it might be. They're getting together and they're sharing these stories and talking about the statutes of God, the promises of God, where they came from, and what will keep them in the land. So this father to son passing on of truth is extremely important. And we take it very seriously. We do in our home, of course. One of the reasons that we like to homeschool is because we have the opportunity to have that type of input into our children's minds and hearts, is to teach them ourselves, even though we have videos for the schools and different things like that. We're in charge of that curriculum, and we're administering that curriculum and teaching our kids. And it is a very tender thing to do, you know, to be able to educate your own children, share with them the truths of God's word. And that is what God wants for us to be able to do. He continues on in verse 2, says, "For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father," and here he goes into his own relationship. This is a third generation now. So King David teaches these things to Solomon, which is amazing with all of the responsibilities that King David had, and probably very little interaction with Solomon. Still, he was able to set aside some time and be able to share these things with Solomon, and then Solomon is trying to share them with his son as well. But he taught me, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. And here it shows, you know, that relationship back when he was a boy, you know, back when I was a little boy, you know, and my mom thought I was so cute, and you know, I was tender in the sight of my mother. Not as a grown man now, but I was just a little kid, and my parents, they took me under their wing, they shared with me these things, they showed me these things, and taught me this wisdom that I might understand and apply these things to my heart. He said, "Then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live.'" Hold fast. And that's where we get really this first idea of hold on. That's what we're to do with these truths, is hold on to them. Hold fast to them. Don't let them go. They come from a father to a son, and they should have all of the attachments that come along with that relationship as well. And so he says, not only that, but acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. So you have a positive and a negative here as well. The positive, of course, is to get or to acquire. And this verb really means to acquire at a price. This is going to cost you something, but it is worth it, Solomon has said. And we've seen that again in other passages, the value of wisdom and wanting to take that wisdom and hold it to a high value, and taking it even above riches and everything else, because it is so important to gain the understanding of the scriptures, the understanding of God's word, because in them, of course, you have the understanding of God and his character and who he is. So he says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding, all of these things. And, you know, I've talked with enough people that have, you know, maybe not followed God's wisdom for a long period in their life. And they'll come up to me and say, "Pastor, I'm just overwhelmed with all of this stuff. Where do I start? Where in the world do I start? There's so much in the Bible. There's so much to learn. Where do I start?" And Solomon answers it here. The answer to where do I start is anywhere. Just start. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Just go for it. It doesn't really even matter where you start in the scriptures. And that's one of the beauties of the Bible, is that wherever you start, you're going to find something that is going to be applicable to your life that will strengthen you morally, strengthen you in your spirit, in your relationship with God, and will build upon itself in such a way that it will develop the character that God wants you to have. So this wisdom, as he pleads with his son, he says, please, son, get this wisdom. Just get it. Whatever you got to do, get it. Acquire it. Go after it. Start anywhere. Just make sure that you get it. And then the negative of this is, don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. So not only get this wisdom, but don't push me off. Okay? Don't push me away. I'm sharing these truths with you because this wisdom is important in your life. You need to not push this away. Don't turn away from these things that I'm teaching you. And how many times do we see that in our relationships with children and that sort of thing? Is they might turn away from those things. And Solomon is just pleading with his son, don't turn away from these things. And that's what he pleads to us as well. Don't turn away from God's word. Again, receive it, accept it, believe upon it, and value it. Make it something extremely important to you in your life. Continues on in verse 6, do not forsake her. These are, it continues with the negatives here. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. And here's the results as well. She will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. And again, this kind of refers back to those passages that talk about wisdom as personified as a woman. Hey, don't forsake her. Find that wisdom, acquire that wisdom, and don't let it go. Hold on to it. Hold on to it fast. You know, I think of how important that is in our society today as we see the moral underpinnings of our society just continue to slip away and slip away and slip away. And we see the persecution beginning to rise up in our society as well. As we hold on to these truths, we are going to stand out more and more and more. And it's going to be harder and harder to hold on to these truths. I watched a video the other day. This was over in England. Praise the Lord, it was not here in America yet, but it will. But there was a 70-year-old preacher. He was standing up on a chair just on the streets in the public square. And he started preaching. And he was preaching about Genesis chapter 1, started preaching about homosexuality and God's design for men and for women and that sort of thing. And he got arrested. They literally handcuffed him. He said, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything against the law. Well, people are offended, they said, as the police came to arrest him. And they handcuffed him and dragged him away. He didn't go willingly. And they dragged him away and took him away. So, I mean, it's coming. It's really coming. We've got to hold on to these truths. They will guard us. This wisdom will guard us. And we need to love this truth of God's word. We need to hold on to the truth of God's word. I think the New Testament equivalent to this, of course, is the Apostle Paul speaking to his son Timothy, this young pastor who he had trained up and saw really as a son, and says, listen, preach the word in season and out of season. You just hold on to that book. You hold on to these truths and you keep these things. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. And here it is again. Doesn't matter where you start, just start. Just get going on it. Find, if you have to flip through your Bible and randomly start with a finger somewhere with your eyes closed, do it. Just get going on it. Find that wisdom. Acquire it as much as you can. That's the beginning of wisdom, is to get it. Prize her, he says in verse 8, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Even if the world doesn't honor you because of it, you will be honored in the eyes of the Lord if you will hold on to her and really care for her and value the truths that are in the scriptures. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Garlands of would often be used as ways of honoring someone, even if they were part of, this is of course a long time before any particular games, Olympic games or anything like that, but certainly if any kind of competition and that sort of thing, this garland would be used to place upon the head, showing that they had been, that they had won. And this is the idea as well. We get this head, place on this head, a garland of grace. It's also very likely that this was something that was placed on the head of a bride to show her worth. And so we have, again, a relationship there, even as close as husband and wife. And if you hold on to this truth and these this wisdom, she will present you with a crown of beauty. So there's a great reward that comes along with holding on to these truths. And so we must hold on to these things. We must hold on to the scriptures, the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. That's increasingly not a very popular thing to do. And increasingly not an easy thing to do. And unfortunately, not something that all Christians do these days. Compromise is everywhere. And not holding on to the truth, but making up your own ideas, inserting your own thoughts or society's morals into the scriptures is becoming commonplace. But we are to hold on to these truths. So the next thing that he tells to do is not just hold on, but he says run. and you can almost see a father and son maybe out playing a game, maybe playing a catch or teaching his son how to play baseball or something like that. And of course, when he's sitting there at the home plate and the son actually grabs a hold of a ball and hits one out there, what's the dad going to say? Run! Run! Go to first base! Run! Run! And the same thing is what Solomon is doing here. He says, starting in verse 10, "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the wisdom of in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths." And here is another theme of paths and finding a way. And we see that throughout the scriptures, that following the wisdom of God is a path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the way that we travel, the way that we go. So I've directed you on the way of wisdom. I've led you in upright paths. These are the paths that lead to holiness. These are the paths that lead to a close relationship with God. And so he says in verse 12, "When you walk, your steps will not be impeded." Again, you picture a highway, and you can imagine if there's rubble everywhere, it's going to slow you down. You're not going to be able to get through. It's going to be difficult to travel. That's why you don't go up over a mountain when you're trying to get somewhere fast. You go on a smooth pathway, on a road. It's so important. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And you can picture unwise behavior and unwise thinking as big boulders in the way of our path. And we trip over these things. We trip over problems in our life. We trip over relationships. We trip over the words that we say. We trip over finances. We trip over all kinds of things that the scriptures, especially the book of Proverbs, is going to be talking about in particular. We trip over all of those things. Relationships between husbands and wives and everything like this. All of these things, if we're not following God's word, will trip us up and cause great pain and problems in our lives. And so Solomon wants us to be able to avoid all of those things. Your steps will not be impeded. You'll have a smooth road, spiritually speaking. Things are going to be a lot smoother for you if you do this. And it says, if you run, you will not stumble. And here's the run part, okay? You're going to be able to run as fast as you can. And there are going to be times in your life when you're going to need to sprint. And your path that God has for you, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to need to run. And if you have stumbling blocks in your life, if you have sins that have cropped up in your pathway, or wrong thinking, or not following after the scriptures, you're going to stumble over those things. And when you need to run the most, when life has gotten you down, and you need to run, you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to stumble. But he says, if you follow these things, if you keep my words, if you value these things, then your path will be smooth. And when you need to run, you're not going to stumble. So run. Run as fast as you can when you need to, especially in your life. I think of so many people. I've talked with people even that I work with and going through difficult things in their lives. And they haven't been to church. They haven't been following after God's word. They've kind of done their own thing. But now life circumstances have come to such an extent that they are broken and they're hurting. And because they haven't followed God's word, they can't travel smoothly. They don't know what to do. And they're stumbling over all kinds of things. And life is very difficult for them. Solomon says, I want to avoid that with you. I want you to be able to run when you need to. So he says, take hold of instruction. Guard her, for she is your life. This instruction that comes from God's word, this is what life is all about. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil. So we see the good way, and we see this theme throughout the scriptures as well, the good way and the evil way. The good path and the evil path. As Jesus put it, you have the broad path that leads to destruction and the narrow path that leads to life. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass it. Pass by it. Don't even go near that road. even if it runs parallel for a little while or crosses your path, don't follow it. Stay away from it. Avoid it. Get away from it. Don't even pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. Oh, if we could just get this through our heads, especially for our young people. Stay away from the evil path. Just stay away from it. Get as far away from it as you possibly can. For, why? Verse 16. Whoop, I think I jumped ahead a little bit. For they cannot sleep, it is the evil, unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. There are people out there, and not only people, but this evil way and evil thinking that just want to be able to have their way and just want to be able to do this. And they're going to stay up late and try to think as much as they can in order to get somebody to stumble. And, you know, this reminds me, of course, of what Jesus said about the devil. We have an adversary. He's like a roaring lion, and he's seeking those whom he may devour. That is the evil way, and it is out there, and it is seeking to devour you and to eat you up. So avoid these things. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And the picture is this. Maybe you're starting off your journey early in the morning, right? And you're on the good path. And you start walking and it's nice and smooth. And as you continue on, because it's early in the morning, the sun begins to rise. And the further along you get, the brighter your path is and the easier it is for you to travel. That's the idea of growing in grace and the knowledge of God. As you do that, your path will be that way. It will get lighter and lighter and brighter. You'll be able to see it more clearly as your life goes on because you're following God's word. But the wicked are not like that. They stumble around. They're in the darkness all of the time. There are things impeding their paths, and they're tripping and stumbling over all kinds of sinful behaviors and sinful things, and they fall down, they get hurt. And Solomon says, my son, I don't want you to see this. I don't want you to experience this. I want you to have a much better way of handling life than this. So again, reminds us of the New Testament, what Jesus said. The good man, out of the good treasures of his heart. Oh, I think I'm getting ahead of myself there. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not sure why that's on there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, jump ahead here. Again, this relationship between the Father and the Son. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. So at all times, you're doing these things with your son. You're teaching them all the time. And this goes with discipleship as well. You know, grabbing some young guys in our church, and it's been great to see some of the young men in our church wanting discipleship. I've been meeting with a group now on Wednesday afternoons, and we've been going through Bible studies together. And they're excited. They want to learn. They want to grow. Some of them even want to be able to fill the pulpit sometimes and do some teaching and that sort of thing. But whether it's that's the discipleship that needs to take place, you know. Think about what you do in the church, what your ministry is and that sort of thing. Who can you grab who might be inclined to do something like you do? Get a hold of them and say, hey, why don't you come with me and do this with me? And I'll show you how I do this. And then you can take it over. That's discipleship. Discipleship in ministry. And that's a great thing to do. We want to be able to do those things. And that's how we're to be able to teach people, as Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 talk about. Whatever you're doing, you're always teaching. You're always helping your son or your daughter to learn and to grow in their relationship. So, we see hold on. We see that we're supposed to run without being impeded. And the third plea that Solomon gives here really is to watch out. Watch out. Verses 20 through 27 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. This is a way, again, of Solomon just saying to his son, hey, Wake up. Listen. Pay attention. You ever had to do that with your kids? Especially when they're young? my kids, they get glued on watching something on TV or on a device or something like that. And you try to tell them to clean up their room or something. And they don't even hear it. They're not, you know, they're just so focused. And so you have to kind of get their attention. Hey, wake up. Give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. In this passage, verse 22, reminds us again of the passage in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 6. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives to you. They will be life to you. These words will keep you alive in your, give you a long life. And how true it is, you see those involved in so many different sinful activities and sinful things, and how short their life often tends to be, especially entertainers and different things, as well as famous people in sports and who get caught up in all kinds of stumbling blocks, and then it causes all kinds of problems, and they end up with a shortened life as a result of it. So Solomon says, watch out for these things. Hold on to these truths in your own heart, for they will give you the the life that you're looking for. And of course, in the New Testament, we have it put a little bit differently. Ephesians chapter 6, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, and that your days will be long upon the earth. There is a promise that goes along with honoring our parents, so that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on the earth. That's the promise. And then it continues and says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, again, here's this relationship between a father and a son, and following after those truths that the father passes down to his son. Now, I think, for me, this is the most important verse, I think, in this whole chapter, maybe in the whole book of Proverbs. I don't know how many times I've used this verse and how important this verse is to me. But verse 23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. This has such wide application to all of us in our own lives. We need to watch over our hearts, because it is from the heart that flow these springs of life, the issues of life. Do you want to know why you do the things that you do? It's because of what's in your heart. It starts in the heart, and it comes out in your life and in your actions. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And that's why Solomon pleads with his son, watch over your heart. Watch out. Keep guard over that heart of yours, because it is so important. Everything in your life flows from your heart. And we have to guard our hearts as well. And this goes with our mind and our hearts. Why we have to be so careful, that battle that goes on between good and evil and the way that we think and deal with life situations is so important. You know that constant discussion that you have with yourself on a daily basis, moment by moment basis, that running discussion in your mind? That's what we're talking about here. You have to guard that. You have to control that conversation. And make sure that you are steering your mind and steering your heart towards God. Because it is from that conversation in your mind, it is from that thinking and from that heart and the decisions that you make and what's in your heart that will flow the issues of your life and the problems that you will face or the blessings that you will receive. So that's why Jesus says these things. Because Jesus knows, of course, what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? That is, the natural man, apart from the Holy Spirit of God, their hearts are wicked. And so you can't trust that heart. You've got to steer it. You've got to guard over it. You have got to keep watch over it. And it's a constant, constant thing. I can't emphasize how important this is for us to be able to do this in our lives. The heart is deceitful. And again, I've said this before, but it drives me nuts, all the songs that I hear. And where I work now, they just blare the radio all day long. And I've gotten to the point where it just drives me nuts, so I just start singing. And I'm singing at the top of my lungs, and the louder the music is, the louder I sing. And this garbage music that comes over that I've got to listen to at the place that I work, I just drown it out. I put earplugs in my ear so all I can hear is my own head. And I just start singing hymns. And I was singing the other day, and I was facing a couple other ladies who are working in an area, and I just started singing. And the one lady got up, and she went over, and she turned up the music. So I sang louder. But it's crazy, you know. But all of these songs, a lot of these songs, listen to your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart will never steer you wrong. Yes, it will. It's deceitful. It is wicked. It is desperately sick. You don't even know how sick your heart is. Don't follow it. guard it, steer it, direct it, because out of your heart flow the issues of your life. Do you see why it's so important? You see why that passage is so important? And when I do counseling with people, this is where I bring them. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your heart. So watch out for it. Verses 24, we finish up, last couple verses here. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Here's that path again. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Don't be turning to the left or to the right. Don't be distracted by worldly things, by great riches, by lots of work, by sex, by drugs, by all of these other things, by electronic devices, by toys and everything else that you can be distracted by. Let your eyes look directly ahead and your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. So you watch your heart, you guard your heart, and you watch your path. You're always watching and always wary. You say, that's exhausting. Well, not nearly as exhausting as not doing these things. And it is only for a short period of time. We have how much time on this earth? Only a few decades, really. And then for eternity, we will be with the Lord. And it will seem like such a short time. Having that eternal perspective helps us to be able to watch our path and be careful and establish all of our ways. And finally, he says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. So, hold on to these truths. Run the race that God has before you and stay on that straight path and guard yourselves with all of these things. Guard your own heart even so that you will follow after him. This is Solomon's plea to his son, and this is God's plea to us as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's do these things. Let's be experiencing this type of wisdom and valuing it, guarding it, protecting it, and learning from it. Get started. Start today. Even if you don't know where to begin, just begin somewhere. And trust that the Lord will direct you where he wants you to go. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you that you are our Father, and that as Solomon is speaking to his son, so you speak to us as our dad. You want to see what is best for us as well. You care about us. You don't want to see us stumble. You don't want to see us fall. You don't want to see us get involved in a whole bunch of things that will hurt us and that will lead us away from you and lead us away from the straight and the narrow path that is so much better. So help us, Lord, to guard our hearts. Help us to watch over our paths. Hold on to these truths. Give us strength, I pray. We need your strength. We need your spirit to help us with all of these things. And we pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Our...
Pastor, you got time for a couple questions?
Sure.
In verse 5, I'm talking about understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So many people say, well, I can't understand the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand. I don't read it because I can't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to an unbeliever when they say, well, I just can't understand the Bible?
I would say to them, really, what has been reiterated in this passage, but also in other Proverbs, you need to value God's Word, even if it's difficult. You need to dig into it and try to understand it. It takes time. It's not going to be an easy thing. If it were easy, everybody would do it. But you need to value it more than you value anything else. And I would even challenge them and say, what do you spend your time on? What do you value? I mean, how much time have you spent watching television or Netflix or whatever, you know, whatever it is? You're pretty good at that. Or a video game, you know, or time on your device or something like that. Have you put that kind of time into learning the scriptures? If you did, you would understand it. It's not that difficult if you study it and you value it. And so I would encourage them in that way to do that.
The other portion of God has talked about following your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people believe, well, I got to follow my heart. Well, in Romans 12:2, it talks about having your mind transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't your mind, when the Holy Spirit talks to us, does he talk to us heart or to our mind? Because if our mind is supposed to be transformed, then that is what leads us. How do you explain that?
If I understand your question properly, yes, as we read the scriptures, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. And he will energize or quicken, the Bible says, those truths and help us to understand. He will be our teacher. So as we study the scriptures and as we let God's word saturate our minds and our hearts, then those truths will begin to sink down into our lives and into our being. And we will grow and we will learn from those things. So yes, your heart will be transformed, and you have really two hearts, right? You have a sinful heart, part of your sinful nature, as well as a new heart that has been placed there by the Holy Spirit. And they are in conflict with each other, and that's what Romans chapter 7 talks about, that conflict that constantly happens as those two natures do battle inside of you. And so you can't follow your wicked heart. You can't follow that part of you that is sinful until that's been eradicated, and that will happen when we're glorified, and not until then. So we're always constantly battling against that with the new nature that we have, the new heart that God has given to us. As Jeremiah promised, you know, I will place into you a new heart. I will place my words on your heart, and all of these things. That comes with the new life, that comes with salvation, with regeneration and all of that. But both of those things are in conflict with each other, and that's why it's so difficult in our life sometimes. But one will grow and the other will shrink. And it's always growing and shrinking. And so what you feed is what will grow. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question? So, yeah. Good stuff. Good questions. All right. Well, we're going to sing, so let's stand together. Sing our final hymn, and then we'll do some praises and testimonies this morning.